This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, you know, it's a little hot in Texas, or have you noticed that? I mean, should I mention that? It's the hottest summer, I think, on record.
And it's only July 1st. I mean, we have months of summer left. Wow.
I don't know if we will make it through the summer. I mean, you know, it is the hottest place in the world right now is Texas.
Literally. I mean, literally. we got all
kinds
of...
The other day it said it felt like 135, but it was only 118.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all. So, you know, I recommend people do not go outside unless it's an emergency. I went out to get in my car the other morning, or the other afternoon, rather. The car was so hot, I couldn't hardly touch it. Unlocked it. The steering wheel was too hot to touch. The seats were too hot to touch. And I said, I've just got to open everything up and go back in until everything cools off. But I didn't know that I should have the windows down because I didn't know it was that hot.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. You can blow windows out that way, and it is. It is so dangerous. It's been a long time since we've seen heat like this, I think.
And you know how I always love Saturdays.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a little hot for me to be as happy as I usually am. It's just a little hot for me to say it's going to be a wonderful day, because I'm not sure, you know, with the heat. I think I'm not going to be as happy as I usually am. Oh, my gosh.
We're fixing to see the ugly side of Fay today.
Yeah. Well, you know, they tell me this is the hottest it's been in 7 years.
Is that how long it's been?
And that's what everybody tells me. I asked several people in Midland this week. I said, you know, I don't remember it ever being this hot. And they said, Fay, it's been 7 years since we had a heat wave like this.
Jeez. I mean, heat is kind of our thing, but this is just a little bit, too much.
It's gone too far. It's going to have to cool off. And, you know, that water slide I bought for the grandchildren that I thought I was so smart doing, they can't even use it. It's too hot.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, they would get burned to a crisp.
Oh.
So we're going to have new activities inside, folks, inside.
So you did all that planning. You got the zip line in place. The slide is in place, and you can't use any of it.
Can't use it. It's too hot. They would get burned so bad that we said, no, we'll have to have activities inside. So I think they're building things inside with boxes.
Oh.
Why is it children love boxes?
I don't know.
It's a big deal to our house. They save every big box.
Yeah.
And they build tunnels with it, and they build stuff with it. And I just can't imagine. I don't remember having this thing about boxes.
Me either. The only thing I ever did with a box, well, I take that back. When I was a kid, I took a box and painted it and then sat in it and pretended it was a car. And then I tipped a box on its side, cut out a hole in the bottom, and pretended it was a TV, and I sat behind it and did, like, TV news. But that's
about
it.
Wow, very good.
Yeah.
Well, they get in there, and they close the box up, and, you know, and they play in it, and then they'll take their toys and put them in the box.
Oh. Wow.
So I don't understand boxes. You know, I really don't. I understand toys, but not boxes.
I will say, though, to take a box, though, and do what they're doing, that takes an awful lot of imagination, which a lot of people don't do now, you know?
That's right. People don't have an imagination.
No.
They've watched too much television.
Yeah.
If you watch too much television, you don't get it.
And video games and
on television.
Handheld devices and, yeah.
I could say it's been a wonderful week, but that would be stretching it just a little bit.
Yeah.
But I have managed in the mornings to meet with clients. I've actually had lunch with one of my favorite clients, and I've done some things like that. Julian Gold is still here and doing fabulously. Now, being a man, you wouldn't know about Julian Gold a lot, but Julian Gold has been here as long as I can remember. And women rely on that store, let me tell you.
I see. So it's like it's the go-to place for you.
It's the go-to place for me and a lot of women. If they didn't have Julian Gold, I don't know what they would do.
When you walked in the door, did they see you like an old friend that hadn't been there in a while? Or?
Well, it's funny. The ladies I knew, two of them had retired. One was gone. But I went in the next day, and the lady walked up and said, "Hello, Faye."
Oh.
And I was, you know. And so the people I know, some of them are still there, and some of them have retired. This one lady worked, I believe she was in her late 80s, but she was a fixture there. Everybody knew her. She knew her clothes. She knew everything about the store, and she was great. She really was. But they have trunk showings and showings where you can go and you look at all the new fashions. It's like being in New York City.
Wow.
You know? Except it's done a little different here in Midland, Texas. It's not quite the same.
Yeah.
But, they're wonderful people. They're really nice. And you feel at home when you go there. So I wanted to give them a shout out today because it was nice seeing them.
You know, it's always great when you do business with people that, and you go back and you get to know them over the years, and you know they know you, and you get to know them as like people and their families and stuff like that. Whether it's a business or a restaurant or anything like that, it's always great to do business with people like that because, you know, it's kind of a dying breed these days. So that's cool.
It is. Yeah, and other stores are just not the same. They don't treat you the same.
No.
They just want you in and out, and, you know, go to the cashier and don't talk to us.
Yeah, don't talk to us. You're bothering me.
That's it. We're bothering them if we ask any questions. They don't know the merchandise, so it doesn't matter anyway.
That's why a lot of us do our shopping online, I think. It got too easy.
That's right. That's why everybody's doing everything online, and you don't even have to hear anybody say anything. You just get it done.
Nobody has to say anything.
That's right. They don't have to talk to us.
Wow. Well, then it sounds like you had a great week then, connecting with old friends and seeing old people that you hadn't seen in a while. So that sounds cool. That's really great. So, nice.
And, I had, as you say, a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. So I got to see a lot of our clients that I don't usually get to see, and that was great.
Yeah.
And I've accomplished a lot. Overall, it was a good week as long as I stayed in the office.
Oh, yes. As long as you're inside. Outside is
dangerous. As long as I'm inside, I'll be all right.
Wow. Well, hopefully we won't. I mean, that's just, it's so strange. You know, it seems like every so often we have these weird things that happen. You know, like, what was it, over the winter we had, you know, the ice and the snow and all that. And now we've got, you know, this, the heat wave from this week. And so it's just been so, it seems like extremes are kind of like the new norm now. It's weird.
It is. It's just a different world. And I can't imagine what would have caused all this. And I hope it's over. and that we'll go back to a reasonable temperature.
Yeah, so we can complain about things that we normally complain about.
That's right. That's right. It's better for me to complain about something else, frankly.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And there's a lot of great things on our website. If you want to go back and see what people have made, you can see what they made, how long the LE was, if it came in on time, if it was late. There's just a lot of things you can go to and see on our website.
It is. It is full of information. People, you say all the time that, you know, people go in and they actually look at real money that real people have made when they're starting to do their research about, like, life settlements and things like that, how to, you know, manage their wealth. And so, yeah, there's a ton of information on there.
And so it's always good to have that. And then the other thing is they can always call me. And people think, well, I'll be talking to somebody else. I won't talk to Faye. But that's not true. If you call, you can ask to speak to me, and you know, I'll come to the phone. And they can always talk to me to find out how life settlements work, how annuities work. I don't turn it over to somebody else. Everybody thinks that I would, but I don't. So they can ask me for any information they want, and I will tell them. And if it's anything I don't know, I couldn't imagine what it is because, you know, we've been doing this a long time. We've been in business 23 years, so we should know something by now.
You would think.
That's right. If we haven't learned anything by now, we never will.
Yeah.
It'll just be out of the question.
It ain't happening.
But it ain't happening, folks.
I mean, it's cool because, you know, a lot of times, I'm sure, especially with new investors that maybe come over and they're maybe whatever they were into before probably didn't have a chance to actually talk to a person. I know there's always a person there, but it's sometimes it can be one of those things where you just get like a random, you know, customer service representative, and they can actually talk to you, which I think is what a lot of people really enjoy, you know, whether they pick up the phone and call you or, you know, I know for a while you were doing Zoom calls. And so there was a lot of face to face. And then sometimes people just, you know, stop by the office just to see you in person. And you know, because you're actually like there and not just some distant, you know, corner office in a glass high rise someplace. And so that's really, really cool. I guess the customer service and the personal touch, and that you're always available for people.
Well, they don't have to call New York City. You know, I found out that some companies, one of our clients 3 years ago, I never will forget, she said, "Faye, I want out of this. I'm tired of this brokerage deal. They're taking all my money." So we start to transfer it, and it's not local. It was in New York City.
Oh.
It took 3 months to get her money.
You're kidding.
3 months. No, she was so unhappy. And she kept saying, "Well, Faye, what can we do?" And I said, "They're in New York City. You know, we're calling them, and they don't care."
No.
I said, "They don't even care about talking to us." And that happens sometimes when it's in New York City. Now, I had a lady last week that called me, and one of the local brokerage's houses here, she said, "They're about to break me. I've lost almost all my money." She said, "Would you talk to me?" I said, "Sure, I'll talk to you." So she came over this week, and I transferred her out of the brokerage house that was losing all of her money. I wouldn't have waited that long.
Wow.
If you're losing money continually, don't wait till it's half gone or three-fourths. You can't recover that money once it's gone.
Mm-mm.
How are you going to get it back?
You got to start over, really.
I mean, you're going to have to start over. And it was a terrible thing, and I hated it. But, you know, she waited that long. And then I had a lady 2 weeks ago call me on the holiday that we had. And everybody else was closed, but we were open. And she said, "You know, I need to transfer this. My company's no longer going to do a 401k. Can you do it?" I said, "Sure, we can do it." So she came over, we got it handled, and I talked to her the next week, and she's laughing. She said, "You know, nobody would talk to me over the holiday." She said, "Now they're calling wanting to do it for me."
Of course they are.
Yeah, a big company doesn't care.
No.
A big company's going to wait till their convenience. it's not your convenience, it's theirs.
Yeah.
And they didn't care enough about a new client, you know, to answer a phone call. That's silly.
Mm-mm. They don't. They just kind of get in that place where, you know, everybody's just a number. And when you're a number, you know, you don't get the kind of customer service and you don't get the attention. And people just, they don't care. All they want is they just take your money 9 times out of 10. And so that's what makes, you know, what you do a lot different. And it seems like you've told a lot of stories over the years about how people really appreciate that you're always in touch with people. You send emails, you pick up the phone when they actually call. Or if you're on a phone call, you will call them back. And so, I mean, it's just you just don't get that very often anymore. So, and it seems like that's one of the big things that people really appreciate.
And we have people call every week, you know, wanting to know about life settlements, about annuities. And I know I've had people call about life settlements, and I start to tell them, they said, we've been listening to you for 2 years. We know how it works. We're just now ready to do something. So lots of times that's what happens. Then lots of times I had a guy driving down the road. He's coming from Lubbock back to Midland. And so he heard me. He called in, said, you know, he thought he wanted to talk to me some more. We talked. He put his money with us. And again, it was a 401 coming out of a company that he was retiring from. So when you're getting ready to retire, you know, you have to start preparing about 60 days before retirement with a big company. Because there's a lot of paperwork, and what a lot of people don't realize is you're going to get your retirement, you're going to get your sick days that you didn't take, and then your bonuses that you haven't taken. So lots of times they have to research 3 different ways to how much money you've got coming. And sometimes the checks are separate, like the bonuses sometimes are separate from what your retirement is. So in order to get all that money, you have to start like 60 days before retirement.
Then
they start working on all that.
Are the bonuses sent different because they're taxed at a different rate?
It shouldn't be, but the bonuses is in a different account.
Mm.
It has to be transferred over. Your sick pay, they have to figure how many sick days you didn't take, and all those sick days that were available that you didn't take, they add all that up and give it to you. So big companies have a lot of different things you get at the end.
Hmm.
And then there's nothing left except your retirement. So it depends which company it is. But a lot of them do. They have the bonus money. They have the sick leave that you did not take. So a lot of times there's 2 or 3 things they have to add up.
Yeah, so it just takes a little bit of time.
It takes a little time. So you need to start 60 days before.
What is a good time for most people to start investing in relation to retirement? So if somebody's, you know, say in their mid-40s or if they're in their mid-50s, is either of those too late or too soon or right on target?
I would start my 40s. I would not wait any later than 40 to start making arrangements because you want to be sure that when you do get to retirement that you've got a good nest egg, that it's safe, that you've made the right decisions, that you haven't went out here and done anything that's crazy, and then you find out that's not going to pay. So it needs to be a tried and true investment always. That's what I tell people. I read so many horror stories every day on the news where people, you know, thought this was legitimate, it wasn't, and they lost the money. And lots of times it's a lot more than they can afford, and it isn't coming back.
Yeah, people get into all kinds of different investments.
Yeah, all these new investments that we've never heard of. I don't know if they're good or not, but I know some of them are not.
Yeah.
And they don't do enough research to make sure this is really real. And then they find out when they get a letter from the government or somebody saying, by the way, we've closed that deal down that you put your money in. And you may get a third, you might get a fourth, or you may not get any.
Mm.
They may have spent it on yachts and jets, horses. I mean, the one I was reading last week, they bought 6 sports cars, several houses. They've taken all these trips to Europe and all this four or five Rolexes for everybody in the family.
Oh, wow.
And now they've closed them down. And what's the poor investor going to do?
Yeah, you can't get that. I mean, they could sell off some of the assets, but you're only going to get a fraction of it. Those trips, you know, that's just money down the drain. You cannot recover that. So, wow.
And these weren't people, you know, that anybody knew. They were from out of state. I think they were from California. And it was a crazy deal. And they took in like $29 million.
Oh, my. Wow.
And people just jumped right at it. They thought it sounded wonderful. But I think it's better to invest locally. I mean, that's my recommendation. You can do whatever you feel like. If you feel like New York City or California, all these fancy deals are great, well, you're on your own. Because I don't know if anybody here could help you get it back, frankly.
Mm. Yeah, that's impossible. And even if you got a fraction of it, you still have expenses involved, you know, attorney fees, court fees, you know, all the kind of things that kind of suck up all your recovery efforts and your so-and-so profit getting your money back. You know, that just, it almost ends up being a sum of a case, in some cases anyway, where it's just not even worth it. Just chalk it up as a loss and move on and start over, which is sad.
Nobody wants to start over, I assure you.
No.
So if you're 40 years old or older, I recommend stay with something that's conservative. I mean, I know everybody loves pie in the sky and they love this deal where you're going to make 5,000%. But I haven't really, in my lifetime, seen any of those work.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen just the regular things work and the things that we've never heard of. It's better just to let them go and let somebody else do those.
Yeah.
And then if they get caught in the middle, it's not your livelihood. It's not your retirement. And it's just safe being safe, let me tell you.
Yeah. People get distracted. It's easy to get distracted by, like, you know, the next big shiny thing and, oh, wow, this is going to swing for the fences and we're going to hit a home run every single time and we're going to make all this profit and it's going to be almost overnight. Those are the kinds of things that most people should be suspicious of, whereas, like, a life settlement, this has been around for a long time. Life insurance companies are solid. They've been around for hundreds of years. They've got the resources. They've got the reserves up. So, I mean, it's like you say, it's a solid. It's a solid investment, so it's just.
Well, I think so because it's with a life insurance company. They've got more money than anybody, and it's diversified. You're not putting all your money in one policy. You have to be diversified in this, just like anything else. And there's going to be a percentage of them that are going to come on time, a percentage are going to be early, and a percentage will be late. So you know you have to know that going in. And the life insurance companies always pay off. That's why it's safe. Life insurance companies, when they sign you up to buy a life insurance policy, they have to put up reserves right then to cover this, to make sure they have enough money. And they're all worth billions of dollars. You know, we check every life insurance company out when we're going to buy a policy. We look at them. We look at what their rating is. Are they A-rated, A-plus? How many billion are they worth? And the only one that's a B company is Genworth. And our lawyers said Genworth is as solid as they come, even though they are a B-rated. They're worth $2 billion.
Whoa.
You know, we're talking about billions. And so, you know, they feel like a $2 billion company and they're owned by another company that is even more solid. So, you know, I've told that story several times. A year ago, they brought us a great policy. It was short-term, but it was Genworth, and we turned it down. The man died in 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So then we decided maybe we better do a little research on it. So our attorneys researched Genworth and said, Faye, they're as solid as they can be, even though been B-rated. So now, every once in a while, we'll do a Genworth policy. But that's the only B-rated company we will do. Everything else is A-rated.
And that's after extensive research, so it's not just kind of like a willy-nilly decision. We'll go for with Genworth. But there's a lot of data behind that, and there's reasons that you do. So, people
that's
can
right.
feel comfortable with it. You had mentioned something a couple of minutes ago that we should probably bring it to a lot of attention, especially for people who have never done a life settlement before. You had said that sometimes the policy comes in early, sometimes it comes on time, and sometimes it goes over a little. The one thing to know about a life settlement is that whether it does come in early or if it comes in late, you still get the same amount. So if it comes in early, say a policy comes in 6 months early, you still maintain the same profit that you that was in the original deal. It's not like they discount the profit or anything like that for when things
Never.
Come in early. So
remember that whatever the life insurance company said, let's say they said it. Face amount on this policy we buy is $1 million. They're going to pay $1 million. They're not going to say, oh, well, today's Friday. We think we'll pay less. A life insurance company is obligated to pay the face amount of every life policy they write. And that's what they do. So it's like most people carry life insurance. So on your life insurance, you know you're going to get paid 100%. It's the same way with this. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to take less money. Whatever we sign up for, that's what you're going to get. If we tell you it's 28% profit, that's what it'll be. Doesn't matter if it's late, if it's on time, or if it's early. It's still 28%. It's 1% a month. So if it's 28 months, you're going to get 28%. So that's the way it works. And when we buy a policy, we check the medical. We have them send us the medical. We look at the LEs. We combine all that, and then we send it out and say, okay, maybe we want you to put $50,000 in. So everybody's going to put in $50,000. And we tell you that. Sometimes our clients, we've got some large clients, they'll say, can I put $100 in? If it's a really wealthy client, they can. We're not going to let anybody put it in unless they have enough money that $100,000 can sit there 2 or 3 years and not bother them. So that's why you must be accredited to do this. You can't do it if you're not accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house. And people are always questioning, hey, why do you do that? It's a government rule. It's not my rule. They have certain rules for accreditation. So you have to be accredited to do this. So everybody can take the risk, and it's like everything in life. There's some risk in everything you do.
Yeah.
Nothing is 100%. I don't care what it is. Mm. I always tell people, you can stump your toe and break it before you get out of bed.
Yeah.
So, there's some risk to getting up every day.
You could burn your finger on your steering wheel
much.
When you get in the car.
That's right. Yeah, you burn yourself on the steering wheel. I've already done that this week. I know all about it. So it can happen. But life settlements have been around a long time. When they first started, there were a lot of problems with them. People didn't know what they were doing. They weren't doing it right. And now it's very well regulated. People are doing a lot better job. It is over, I'd say it's probably $20 billion a year.
Oh, wow.
They say it's going to be a $60 billion a year business.
Really?
The hedge funds are in it. I mean, the hedge funds have jumped in.
Hmm.
They said, this looked like a great opportunity. So they've got in. And they said, this one that we all know said, we're going to pay 8% guaranteed. Well, they went out here and just bought every kind of policy in the world. They didn't buy policies that were sick. I mean, if you're going to guarantee 8%, they better have 1 foot on a banana peel.
Yeah.
So, they had a lot of problems because of that. And then there was people who wouldn't escrow. And we escrow an extra 12 months on every policy we write. Not only that, every deal that we do, we have Nevada Trust handles it. They are our trustee. We use a trustee. We use a bank. We don't use ourselves. So we don't ever touch your money. Nevada Trust, all the accounts are set up at Nevada Trust. If you have a Roth, it's there. If you've got a 401k, it becomes an IRA there. If you have a joint account with your wife, it's at Nevada Trust. They handle the money. If there's a premium that comes due, Nevada Trust pays it out of your account. And then when the person passes away, Nevada Trust gets the check. Then they divide the check up and put it in everybody's account. That's what makes it a safe investment, is we've got somebody that handles your money besides me.
These are all safety regulations. It's designed to, I guess, protect investors.
This is to protect their money, their accounts, where they'll always know their money is safe. And if they want to check on their money, they make a request either to us or to Nevada Trust. They'll send them out a statement. Here's how much money's in this account. Here's how much money's in this account. And they pay Fed funds overnight on every account. So you're making a little bit of interest every time you have cash in your account.
You had said a few minutes ago that there are a lot of investors that will say things like, I've been listening to you for years, and we just now got around to getting into live settlements and getting started. Is there something that happens for people to make that switch, do you think? Is it just the fact that they're losing money?
Yes, I do. I think a lot of times they're tired of where they're at. They're ready to make a significant change, and they feel like they know me, because they've been listening to me on the radio so long. They know we've been right here in Midland and in Dallas, you know, a long time. And so they call us. They feel like they can trust us. And so they call, and like you say, maybe they're fixing to retire, so they want to move the money out of a company account over to us. No one wants to leave their money in when they retire, I can tell you that. We get a lot of calls. People say, I'm retiring in a month, 2 months. I want to get this set up now. So we get a lot of retirement deals that people do not want to leave it in the stock when they retire. Also, you know, all the companies tell them if you're retiring, you have to take your money out. Mm. They're not going to let you leave it there because you're going to be gone. So there's a lot of different reasons people come to us. And then we get all the people that their friends have accounts with us, and their friend tells them how much money they've made, how many years they've been here. So then when they get ready, they'll tell us who it was, and then so-and-so sent them over, and that's how it happens.
Well, those personal recommendations, those are a big deal. They go a long way because people—
They go a long way.
I mean, you recommend something that's actually that's terrible, it can break up, you know, friendships, it can break up families, it can do all kinds of things. And for somebody to put their own name behind it and say, you know, hey, we've been doing this for a number of years, we've made a substantial profit, and yeah, I mean, it's a really big deal for people to recommend something like that. So it says a lot more than just, we got recommended. There's a whole thing that goes along with it. So
that's exactly right. So we're always glad. Doesn't matter where they come from. You know, we're going to look at them, and we check to make sure they are accredited. And if they're accredited, you know, then we're going to do a deal with them.
Life settlements are also a great way for a lot of people after retire. I know we talk a lot about, you know, getting up to retirement and preparing for retirement, making sure your wealth is properly managed, you're in a great spot. But really, a lot of people thrive even after retirement by continuing with life settlements, because it's not like the stock market where something, you know, the bottom could fall out. You may end up having to go back to work at age 75 or 80 or something like that. With life settlements, your principal is always protected, and you've kind of got that. I guess it's more of a conservative type of investment, which is great for people who are already retired, because they're going to just keep building their money, and you'll set it up properly so that they don't dip into that principal. And you have a lot of people, right, that take just interest, and they just live off the interest and reinvest and keep growing it that way.
I have a lot of people that their interest is $100,000 or more a year. But they're well invested. They've got a lot of policies. You can't do it with three or four policies, because it's not enough. If you're going to, you know, have a good interest income, you need more than that. So that's why they have a lot of policies. And then I'll have somebody say, you know, I've been waiting for this to mature, and it just hadn't matured. And sure enough, two or three weeks later, that'll reoccur. But it always seems like we get three in a row. If they get one, they'll get two more. And, you know, in, was it January and February, we had what? 5-6 million, you know, came in.
Yeah.
We've just had a $3 million policy that matured that got to the bank. And we've got another one coming up that's going to the bank. It's smaller, but, you know, it spends just as well.
Yeah,
so,
it does.
You know, we're always glad when we've got maturities. That's what we're looking for. Oh, and our new company is taking care of maturities now. So we should have them online. We should know immediately when they pass away. And we shouldn't have the delays anymore.
Cool.
You know, we've been having delays, which is infuriating. And I don't think we'll have any of them delayed now. I think we're going to be right on top of it because they are online with us, and it's a go now.
Cool. Really, really cool. I know you've been looking forward to that for
I'm
a long
really
time.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And then this week, you know, we had the phones to go out for a day and a half. I mean, can you imagine? I keep saying, why are the phones not ringing? They ring off the wall. And, no, the phones went out.
Oh. It was
why in the world would the phones go out?
Such a weird week, that's for sure.
It has been.
Wow.
You know, we use a special company because they connect all of our phones at every location. And we can just push a button and talk to everybody, you know, in different towns without having to dial a number even. I mean, it's a great phone system when it works.
When it works.
When it works. It's just when it doesn't work, it's not quite so good.
Yeah. Then we go back to the Pony Express days and smoke signals.
That's right. Well, I've been sending up smoke signals. Yeah, I've been doing that.
Yeah, from the heat, no doubt.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Send eyes.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's a writer. They say he's one of the greatest writers around. Now, I'm not sure, because this old boy did a lot of strange things after he became a writer. His name is Cormac McCarthy.
Oh.
Now, his real name is Charles McCarthy. But he was a strange guy. He's an American writer. He wrote 12 novels, 2 plays, 5 screenplays, and 3 short stories. He did a lot of westerns. There was a lot of violence in his writings. But he was a strange man. You remember the McCarthy, Charlie McCarthy. That's he thought that he sounded like Charlie McCarthy, and that's why he changed his name to Cormac McCarthy. That's how crazy he was. He was born up in Rhode Island. He was raised in Tennessee. His debut novel was The Orchard Keeper, published in 1965. He was awarded a lot of literary grants. He was able to travel to Europe because of the grants, and he wrote his second novel, Outer Dark. Everybody kind of liked it, but it was not a commercial success. Then the MacArthur gave him a fellowship, and that enabled him to travel to the Southwest. So then he wrote Blood Meridian, and it became a commercial success. They called it the Great American Novel.
Hmm.
And then he wrote Pretty Horses. Remember that?
No.
Okay,
not.
Well, you may not have known any of his books. Anyway, he received the National Book Award, the National Book Critics Circle Award. So then he wrote The Crossings and Cities of the Plains. And that completed all of his border stories. No Country for Old Men.
Oh, now that
sure
I do.
You remember that one.
Yes.
Okay. He wrote that in 2005. And he wrote The Road, and he won a Pulitzer for it for fiction and the James Tate Black Memorial. And a lot of his stuff, like No Country for Old Men, You know, they made a movie of it.
Yes, it was wild.
And then, yes, and all the pretty horses, that was adapted to it. And Child of God. And then he did The Sunset Limited. Now, I don't remember those. But the way he started out, his father was a lawyer for the power company. And so, you know, they moved to Tennessee, and they lived in on Knowlton Drive in the Sequoia Hills subdivision. And so they thought they were rich. He said they settled in a house in South Knoxville. He said, we were considered rich because all the people around us were living in two-room shacks. That was his typical deal, you know. And he went to parochial school. He went to Knoxville Catholic High, and he was an altar boy. Now, I cannot imagine him being an altar boy. And he saw no value in going to school. He decided to pursue his own interest. And the teacher asked him one day, said, do you have any hobbies? Oh, he said, hobbies? I've got every hobby there ever was. He said, I've got 40 or 50 hobbies. So then he went and attended the University of Tennessee. He was studying physics, engineering, but he became interested in writing. And they asked him, said, we've got a collection of 18th century essays. We would like for you to fix those and do the writing on it. So he did. Then he immediately dropped out of college, joined the U.S. Air Force, and he was stationed in Alaska. And all he did was read books. He said it's the first time he'd ever done so. So he goes back to college. He says, okay, I'm going to study English. And so he wrote Wake for Susan and A Drowning Incident. And again, he won all these awards. Wow. But he dropped out again. And that was when he first changed his name, because he thought he sounded like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. But he was a strange writer. I just don't understand him, of course.
Yeah.
Random House published his first novel, The Orchard Keeper, and he did this while he was working part-time at an auto parts warehouse.
Really?
Now, that's how crazy he was. And Erskine, who became his the guy at Random House, edited his book for the next 20 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. And The Orchard Keeper won a 1966 William Faulkner Foundation Award. So then he moves to New Orleans. He's working in the French Quarter. But he wouldn't even pay his rent. He wouldn't even work for enough to pay his rent. He had a $40 a month room, and they evicted him because he wouldn't pay the rent.
Wow.
I mean, this is a crazy guy. In the summer of 1965, he got a traveling fellowship award from the American Academy of Arts. And so he went abroad. He went to Ireland. And on the ship, he met an English woman, Anna DeLise, who was working on the ship as a dancer and a singer.
Uh-oh.
So he married her, and he received a Rockefeller Foundation grant. So he traveled again around Southern Europe. So then he wrote his second novel, Outer Dark. So he returns to the United States. He's got this new wife, and he purchased a dairy barn, and he renovated it, and he's just doing all this work, but he didn't want to work. And it says he lived in total poverty.
Oh.
He was bathing in a lake.
Really?
And somebody would call up and offer him $2,000 to come speak at the university, and he'd tell him he'd already said everything he had to say on the page. So he wouldn't even go and make a living.
Wow.
So he's living in the barn. He wrote his next book, Child of God, Outer Dark, and it was about Southern Appalachia. And then he separated from his wife because what she told him was this: you want me to go get a job where you can write? He said, yep, I need you to get a job. She left him and moved to Montana immediately.
That should be a lesson to us all.
A lesson to us all. So he immediately moved to El Paso, and that's where he lived.
Oh.
So then they asked him to write a screenplay for an episode of Visions, and it was a drama series about pre-Civil War. So he won a Peace Award for it. You know, the guy was brilliant, but he was crazy, in my opinion.
Clearly.
You know, he didn't care where he worked, didn't care whether he had any money. In 1981, he was awarded a MacArthur Fellowship. It was worth $236,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And it enabled him to travel the American Southwest and to research his next novel, Blood Meridian. And they said it was one of the crudest books ever written.
Really?
But it placed third in the nation. Some said that it was on their 2005 list of 100 best English language books published since 1923.
Jeez.
And at that time, he's living in a little stone cottage behind an El Paso shopping center.
Wow.
I mean, this guy was just as raw as it comes. And in 1991, none of his novels had sold more than 5,000 hardcover copies. He didn't even have an agent then. He was listed as the best unknown novelist in America.
Wow. I didn't even know there was a list.
Can you imagine? So he finally received widespread recognition when he published All the Pretty Horses. And he won the National Book Award, the National Book Critics Circle Award. It became a New York Times bestseller. It sold 190,000 copies.
Good Lord.
Within 6 months.
Wow.
And he could have done this a long time ago. It was followed by The Crossing and Cities of the Plain. And that was his second dramatic work. And No Country for Old Men, as you know, made to a screenplay before turning it into a novel.
That was really disturbing. That whole thing was really, really disturbing.
I think he was a disturbing man. I think this man was way on out. You know, he published the play, The Sunset Limited, in 2006. Critics noted it was unorthodox and may have had more in common with a novel in dramatic form. And wow. Then it was later made into a screenplay. And Tommy Lee Jones produced it for him. And it starred Samuel Jackson, if you remember. And Oprah Winfrey selected it, The Road, as the April 2007 selection for the book club.
Really? And, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And as a result, he finally agreed to his first television interview. First one.
Really?
And this was 2011.
Wow.
And during the interview, he related several stories illustrating the degree of outright poverty he endured at times during his career. And he spoke about the little boy he had at an advanced age and how the little boy was an inspiration to him.
So weird.
I guess, and, you know, he was weird. That's what I don't understand.
Maybe to write such brilliant things, you have to be a little bit, left of center? I don't know.
And he was left of center all of his life. He became a trustee for Santa Fe Institute. And that's a research center devoted to the study of complex adaptive systems. I mean, this guy, he didn't really have two. If he needed one head, he wouldn't even have one.
It's so random.
And yet they say, that he was so brilliant, if they could have kept him at it.
Yeah. Wow.
They said he was influenced by his time among scientists is what made him this way.
Really? So weird. It's almost like if he wasn't as weird, he wouldn't have created such odd, unique pieces and made a name for himself. It's almost like you had to have one to have the other.
Well, I guess so, but he was weird. But yeah, they say he was one of the greatest writers. He said, I always knew I didn't want to work.
Yeah.
And that is just bad golly the truth.
He followed
he did
through.
Work. And you know, he was fluent in Spanish because he lived in Spain, El Paso, and Santa Fe.
Wow.
And, you know, he did them in both languages.
They say sometimes that brilliant people have trouble functioning, like on a daily basis, like have trouble like tying their shoes and stuff like that. So I guess I can, just based on his behavior, you can almost see that there's some geniusness in there somewhere. So it's weird.
And and they said that he used this mechanical typewriter.
Really?
And it was an old Royal. But he was looking for a lightweight machine ahead of a trip to Europe in the early 60s. So he bought him a portable Olivetti for $50 at a Knoxville pawn shop and typed about 5 million words over the next 5 decades.
Wow.
He would just blow out the dust with a service station hose. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And they auctioned it in December of 2009 at Christie's, with the auction house estimating it would fetch between $15,000 and $20,000.
Wow.
It sold for $254,000.
No.
And the proceeds donated to the Santa Fe Institute.
Really? Oh, wow.
Now, that's what they thought of him. These people thought he was a dadgum genius, but he was just almost over the edge.
He was just borderline crazy.
He was borderline crazy. Money meant nothing to him. And he talked about, you know, how poor he'd been when everybody was offering him money all the time to write something, to do something. He would turn them down.
It was almost like deliberate poverty.
I think it was deliberate poverty. He loved being poor. He loved doing without anything. And but yet he wrote some books that got all these awards. Oprah Winfrey, all these people said his books were wonderful, but they were very dark.
Yes, dark is a good way to put
it. Very
them.
Dark. Yeah. I've been nice. Dark is,
disturbing, crazy, psychotic.
Very disturbing books. And yet everybody says it's one of our greatest authors.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, the only one I'm really familiar with is No Country for Old Men, and that was really, really disturbing. It's just, I can't.
I think all of them were pretty dadgum disturbing. And, you know, he could have been very wealthy, but he didn't want to give interviews. He said he didn't like interviews. They told him that, you know, if he would go on television and talk, and he said, I don't have anything to say.
That's so weird.
I've said all I want to say. And he went to college twice, you know, studying different things, but he never graduated. He would drop out again. He'd hear something calling him. But, you know, he lived in El Paso for a long time, lived in Santa Fe, you know, lived in all these different places, but he never had a nice home. It seemed like, you know, he was always on the edge.
Yeah. Living in some shack out behind a mall or something like that.
Yeah. But yet he could ride.
Yeah.
I'd be so hungry and so disillusioned by sleeping on some little old cot that I'd have got out of that business and found something else to do.
Yeah.
But all these foundations, look at this money they gave him. Jeez. And he would go to Europe. He'd go to Ireland. He went to Spain, and you know, and I guess you'd call it research, because he lived it. He'd go to all these places when they'd give him, you know, $250,000 or so. And how about the money he turned down?
Man,
you know, that one foundation offered him $250,000 to go and represent them.
He said no.
He just didn't feel like it. He wasn't in the mood.
I guess he had more experience. He probably had 2 or 3 lifetimes worth of experiences under his belt.
That's right. And he could have written about all this if he had wanted to. And they said he could have really made it if he would have allowed interviews. you know, because everybody wanted to interview him when these books were good. Now, some of his books didn't sell hardly anything. But look at that one book. Sold 190,000 copies in 6 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
And he could have kept doing that, but he wouldn't do it.
Nope.
He'd just go off on another tangent somewhere.
Wow. And now,
but I loved it when the wife told him, said, "You expect me to get a job where you don't have to work?" And he said, "Yes, I need you to." She packs up, moved to Montana, as far away from him as she can get.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we kind of sort of hinted around about risks of life settlements, but there are two main ones. We should probably sum them up. So what's the biggest risk?
The biggest risk is it could go over. It happens. Sometimes the LEs are wrong. Sometimes something happens. So you have to always be prepared and know that it could go over, that you would have to pay premiums. But the nice thing is you always know in advance, because when we send out a deal for you to look at, to go into a policy, we tell you everything. It used to be on page 14. Now it's about five pages from the end. But what it tells you is who the policy's on, what kind of cancer they've got, how many months it is, what the face amount is, what you're going to invest in, how much your investment is. Then it tells you if it goes over what it will cost. So you always know what that premium call would be in advance. It's not a surprise. We're not going to surprise you. We're going to always tell you up front what the risk is, what the reward is, what you're going to make, and what life insurance company, whether it's a man or a woman that you're investing in, and what type of cancer. Everything's going to be laid out.
Okay. And the second one?
The second one is it is not liquid until it matures. In other words, let's say you put $50,000 in a policy. You can't take that $50,000 out in the middle because it's already went into a life insurance policy, so it's not available. So you need to always know it's not liquid until they pass away.
Okay. And considering the fact that most people, well, you have to be accredited in order to do this, most people won't feel they're in a good position where these risks are not really all that life shattering. So we call them.
No, they're not, because the risk is very small.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's very, very manageable. You don't find a lot of people that really, most people are just like, yeah, okay, let's go. Let's go ahead. Let's keep doing this.
Well, and you know, when you're going into the policy, we tell you right then what the premium is going to be. And right now the premiums have been like less than 1% most of the time. You may find one that's 2%, but most of it is less than 1%. We just did some. And they were like a quarter of a percent. They were so small.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it would have been about $43 is what it amounted to per person. So it was very small. And so we've got those where they're down, they're manageable, they're small, and it will not affect you.
Okay. And I assume you've got availability this coming week. I know Tuesday is the 4th, so that will, I assume you're closed on Tuesday.
We're always closed on 4th of July. That's a big deal in America. And if you're Americans, you know you're going to close. Yes, we have time the rest of the week that we'll be seeing people, be talking to people other than Tuesday.
Okay. All right.
And we've got several policies we're going in this week. We didn't mention that.
Oh.
We did not mention that we have availability. It will not take them any time to get in a policy right now. We've got two policies that we'll be doing this next week.
Okay, cool. So there's availability for people to get in right now if they want to.
That's right. Instant.
Cool.
Usually we say 2 to 3 weeks. No, it will not be 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. Very cool. That's good to know. All right, Faye, finally, one last time for people to call, make an appointment, get started, and talk to you. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.